Tonight we're going to talk about staying focused. Anybody in here ever get out of focus? I do, quite often in fact. Both physically with my eyes and mentally with my mind. I think we all have troubles sometimes keeping our thoughts collected on the right thing, moving in the right direction, being the kind of people that we need to be. I want to suggest to you tonight that there are basically two problems that are facing the church today. And there's nothing new about either one of the problems. We see it basically in every congregation that exists, no matter where we go or the people that we meet. And those two problems are this. Problem number one is we have individual Christians who will just simply stop faithfully serving the Lord and turn to the ways of the world, which was what they were before they became Christians to begin with. Problem number two is that the local congregations simply stop growing. And the reason they stop growing is because they simply stop working. It has been suggested through different measures of measuring the work of the church that 80% of the church work is done by about 15% of the people. And you know, I didn't want to believe that when I first saw that staggering figure. But you know, I guess it's true. The minority of any religious group does the majority of the work, and therefore creating problem number two. You know, and we could have several reasons as to why these things are taking place. But I believe that the one reason that stands out for both of these problems that face us today as individual Christians and as a congregation is the fact that Christians lose their focus of the religious goals that are set before them. And they lose their objectives in serving God as Christians. You know, in order to walk the path to heaven, we must keep our sight on heaven. You know, when I was first learning to drive, and I went through my driver's education course that we had in high school, and every one of us have done this, one of the things that my instructor told me is that in order to get that car where you want it to go, you need to see the point that is next in the direction that it's going. And he called that high drive. Now, when I had been told something else by someone else, that every car has the little emblem on the end of the hood, that if you measure that little emblem at the end of the hood and you keep it at the edge of the road, you'll always be in the middle. That is not true. Sometimes you will fall from that if you do that. He suggested a thing called high drive, which simply means you look ahead, you look straight ahead in the direction that you are wanting to go, and that car will not veer from side to side. Now, my wife will tell you that I sometimes don't do that, because we can be driving down the road, and if I see something off in the field over here to the right, my head will turn that way, and guess what the wheel does? It turns that way too. It will follow my eyes. Now, I have a feeling I'm not the only one that ever does that. But we need to learn to focus in the direction that we are going if we're ever going to get there. Because if we turn our heads and we allow our eyes to see something else, there is a very good possibility that our bodies are going to move in that direction as well. So, if we want to walk to heaven, we've got to be on the path that goes to heaven, and we've got to look toward heaven if we're going to make that goal. Now, what I want to do tonight is look at three things. I want to show us some examples of some people in the Bible that were able to do that were able to keep focused and moved in the right direction. And then I want to look at a couple of folks in the Bible that we have that did not. And I'm talking about people who claimed to follow God. And then finally, I want us to take a look at what the Christian must do in order to maintain their focus on God and His Word. So let's begin with the characters who remained focused in their plight to serve God. First one that comes to my mind was Elijah. Now, in case y'all haven't figured it out, I'm trying to emulate a chalkboard up here, so the writing kind of looks, I'm trying to make it look chalky. I don't know if I succeeded or not. I hope you can read that all right. James tells us in James 5, verse 17, that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now, the King James says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, what that simply means was that he had to entertain every emotion in life, just as you and I have to entertain every emotion in life that comes our way. Elijah knew what it was like to get discouraged. And he knew that it would be difficult to always remain focused. And as we read his story, we find Elijah did get out of focus a time or two in his plight to serve his God. And it was difficult for him, and maybe with good reason. Because you see, Elijah had to deal with King Ahab and his horrible wife, Jezebel. They constantly challenged him. They constantly challenged his faith in God. And they constantly challenged his work as God's servant. And Elijah became very passionate about this. And at one point in time in his life, he said, "Lord, I just wish you'd just let me die. Because I am no better than my fathers were before me. I'm not doing this right, so just let me go." But you see, Elijah still had a great passion for service to God. And as we complete his story, we understand that he won that victory with his life. Elijah remained focused to his task on Mount Carmel when he called down fire from God and consumed the altar and the bullock that was on that altar after the 450-plus prophets of Baal could not do so. God's fire came down and turned that altar into dust. And he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was the true God when he killed those 400 false prophets of Baal. Choosing God. And the Israelites finally saying, "We will choose God." Later on in chapter 19, in what I was telling you earlier, where he did become despaired and wonder how this thing is ever going to work out. But yet he still listened to the Lord. Because the Lord asked him, he said, when he went into that cave, the Lord asked him, he said, "Why are you here, Elijah? Why are you doing the things that you were doing? Because I am with you. I have not left you. You think that you're alone in this world with me, but there are over 7,000 people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You haven't failed. You need to get up, and you need to keep going." And he did. He listened to the Lord, and he stayed focused. So here was a man, even though he made mistakes, even though he may have turned his head in another direction, he was able to turn it back toward God and move in the right way. Another great example of one who remained focused was that of Joseph. Now, Joseph encountered tragedy after tragedy in his life. You know, he had to work hard to remain focused when his brothers threw him into the well, and especially when they sold him into Egyptian slavery. He remained focused when he was in Potiphar's house, when Potiphar's wife tempted him to commit sin with her. He kept his focus when he was thrown into prison because of that one event, when Potiphar thought that he had done what she accused him of. He remained focused as he worked for Pharaoh. In fact, he grew in that area and became second only to Pharaoh in power because he remained focused. And even in his dying days, in Genesis chapter 50, we find that Joseph kept his focus on God. And then how about the great Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, the persecutor, as he was called at one point in time in his life, the persecutor has now become the persecuted. Because now, as a servant of God, he is receiving that which he dished out earlier in life. But yet he remained focused on God during his persecution. He remained focused to God throughout all of the many long travels that he went upon, including the shipwrecks, including the imprisonments, including the beatings, all of these things. And even while in prison, he still gave to you and to me several of the letters that he wrote from the prison walls. And when they drug him out of the city of Lystra, stoned him, and left him for dead, when he got to his feet, he was still focused on God. He did not stop in his work for God. He was always pressing toward the goal. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He was focused on serving his Lord. And in his final days, it was obvious he had succeeded. In fact, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 at near the end of his life. He said, "Look, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In other words, I have remained focused to God throughout my life. "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all of those who have loved his appearing." And you know, in that statement, he is talking about you and me. Because we too must love the appearing of Jesus Christ. We too must love the fact that we serve him, we honor him, he is a part of our lives, just as he was the Apostle Paul. He had remained focused on God. And in many ways, he showed us how to do the very same thing. Well, we've looked at these characters. Now let's take a look at some characters who did not do quite as well. What about the great apostle Peter? He is an example of being out of focus at times in his life. You know, I tell everyone, I can relate to the apostle Peter far better than I can relate to the apostle Paul. Because we don't have specific instances where Paul made his mistakes. And we know Paul made mistakes. Else he would not have been given the thorn in the flesh by the devil. But we don't know what that was. And we don't know the mistakes that Paul made basically in his writings. But we do know some of the mistakes that Peter made. You know, Peter lost his focus in Matthew chapter 14 when they were in the storm in the water. And Jesus was walking to them on the water. And Peter, trying to show great faith, said, "Lord, if it is you, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter went out onto the water. And he actually took a few steps on the water. And then he began to look around him and he began to see how the weather was and how the waves were shifting and the wind was strong. And he lost his focus. He should have been focused on Jesus. But he began looking around him and seeing the way things were around him. And he lost his focus. Peter lost his focus twice on the night of Jesus' betrayal. When the soldiers came to take Jesus, Peter drew his sword with an intent to do the right thing. He was attempting to help Jesus, to rescue Jesus, to save Jesus from the Roman soldiers. But Jesus said, "Look, Peter, it has to be this way. Put your sword up. Let me fight this battle the way it needs to be fought." Peter was looking at the wrong way in fighting that battle. And later on that evening, he sat by the fire with other people while Jesus was on trial. And when he was asked about his relationship with Jesus, He said three times, I do not know the man. He was focused on something else. He lost his focus on Jesus. And even after becoming an apostle, Peter still had an issue with a problem in life, and that was racism. He, being a Jew, could not appreciate the Gentile nation. He couldn't appreciate the fact that God had accepted the Gentile nation into his family. And whenever the Jews were not around, he would associate with the Gentiles. But when the Jews showed up, Peter lost his focus. He walked away from the Gentile people. So here we have one of the greatest, possibly even the one that began the church himself on the day of Pentecost with his great sermon that he preached, we read in Acts chapter 2. This man still had his problems and lost his focus. We have another man who did the very same thing in a different way. The man was named Demas. We all know the story of Demas. You see, Demas was a Christian. At one point in his time, he was focused on God. But then Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas, who at one time was focused in the right direction, has now turned his head in another direction and began following something else. Isn't that sad? To lose your focus. And as far as we know, he never got it back. Then we have another character named Diotrephes. Diotrephes lost his focus because he liked to be powerful. He liked to have superiority over the other Christians that he was around. And John writes to us in 3 John verses 9 and 10, he said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. In other words, John, I am more powerful than you. I am more prevalent than you. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And the content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. In other words, he has taken power for himself that he does not have, simply because he wants to have superiority over the other Christians. So John warns us about him. You know, it's not hard to lose your focus with God. In fact, it is so easy. Every one of us in this room have done it at one time or the other. Probably more than once. So why should we stay focused? Because God is the one who is at the other end. You know, we hear about these near-death experiences where people see this light at the end of the tunnel. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that is a mental condition, a subconscious condition that the brain does to the person who is in that position. But you know, the light at the end of the tunnel is something that has been created by Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the light. And we are told to be the light. And we are told to be the light throughout our entire journey. So that at the end of our journey, the light is there. And we are there. It's so important that we remain focused. Now the question is, how do we do that? How do we remain focused to God? Well, Paul gives us some tips from Philippians chapter 3. And I want to share with you maybe three or four verses that he tells us in Philippians chapter 3. The things that we can do ourselves to help us keep focused on God. The first one comes from verse 8. Where Paul says, yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know, we read this verse over and over again. 2 Timothy 2:15. You hear me say it over and over again. Study to show yourself approved to God. A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a lot to be said here, folks. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior is so important. Because you've got to have knowledge before you can follow him. You have got to understand how important it is for you to stay on that path and follow that path and not veer from side to side. So that's how we remain focused. We put our eyes on Christ. Then we go down to verse 12. Paul said, I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. In other words, because Christ has chosen me, I need to choose him. Now that's not saying that Christ has chosen me so I can do what I want to and live like I want to live and it doesn't matter anymore. Some religions will tell you that. That's not what this is saying. This is saying that God has said, I want you. Jesus has said, I want you. And in return, we need to want him. And we must never quit. And we must never give up. And we must press on. And pressing on simply means going in a continual way and never bringing it to an end. And if we can do that, we can solve problems number one and number two that I talked about earlier. Verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now this could mean accomplishments that you have made in the past that have made you who you are and have made you noteworthy to other people. It could also mean problems, failures that has happened to you in life that have stopped you in your tracks and moving the direction that you want to move. Paul said you need to forget all of that. Forget all of those things that you have done. Forget all of those failures that you have made. And if anybody knew that, it was the Apostle Paul. He knew that as a Jew, he was the Jew of Jews. And he knew that as a persecutor of Jesus Christ, he was one of the strongest persecutors that there were. He said, I forgot all of that. You know why he can forget that? Because God forgot that. The very moment that Paul put on Christ, he was perfect in the eyes of God. He had forgotten all of those failures that Paul had done. He had forgotten all of those, quote, accomplishments that Paul was actually doing in his name. And he was letting Paul start over. We need that in our lives. We need that in order to stay focused. We need to throw all this other stuff that's behind us away and look to what can happen next. And then, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is telling us something that we may not really understand. And you've heard me say this before. You've heard every preacher you've probably listened to say this before. This is not where God meant for us to be. God meant for us to be with him. God meant for our journey to end with him, to be with him. And when man messed it up by bringing sin into the world, God still made it possible for us to do that. But now there's a little work involved on our part. We have got to stay focused. We have got to move in the right direction. We have to go toward God and in no other direction. Because there is where we want to be. Now, we all know where we're going tonight when we leave this place. We know we're going home. But, my friends, it's not really home. It's a dwelling place, a tent, a temporary place for us to be until God calls us to be where we need to be. Our citizenship, as Paul said, is in heaven. It is not here. And if we can look at it that way, if we can see this with our eyes and with our mind, then we can remain focused to God. So, as we close the lesson, I want us to remember one other passage of Scripture. I said this earlier in the lesson. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. My friends, this is what we must do if we expect to spend eternity in heaven with our God. And it is going to take remaining focused to our God. My friend, if you're not a Christian, you're out of focus in the worst way. You need to give your life to the Lord. Focus upon Him. Obey His word. Become His child. And focus your life in serving Him. And if you are a Christian and you see that your focus has changed, that you are now looking at other things and you're looking in other directions, you need to remember the direction that you need to be looking in. You need to be looking for that light that is at the end of that tunnel. That's Jesus Christ. And focus on that point. And by remaining focused, He will be there waiting on you, and heaven will be yours. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, please come while we stand and sing this song.